spanked. Janet, I got to put you off. I'm sorry. Huh? Forgive me, folks. I need about another 3 minutes. My friends, can we come to order? Barbara did that. The reason I said that, I got a very constructive remark after the last meeting that sometimes the gavel can be other than a helping tool. But we're back in order. My very, very sincere apologies to the entire board. Time passed when I was trying to take care of some incidental board business, and I do apologize to you. One of the questions put to me, we're now going into a sort of committee of the whole type of procedure. We're scheduled for an hour, so that would bring us to roughly about 20 minutes past 2 if we use the whole time. And the purpose of this is not to get into the idea of motions and debates, but what I would like to see, and Janet, it really came, the idea came from you and others, I would like to see this period utilized as a time to be as creative as we possibly can to come up with questions. I'm going to use the term brainstorming, but I mean come up with creative ideas. And the reason I'm hesitant about brainstorming as a term, because that has a particular technical procedure where people are say go quickly around the room and say the first thing that comes to your mind. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. I would really like people just to have a conversation with each other and try to come up with really creative ideas on development. I'm going to suggest to you that nobody speak twice until other people who have not spoken have a chance to speak. I will call on people who have not spoken to urge them to speak out, and I would urge us to keep to the three-minute limit that we set. And let me toss the ball to Janet, because she was really one of the key originators of this idea.
One of the reasons why at the end of the meeting I said I wanted to be the first one.
Please, in mind.
One of the reasons why at the end of this, before the break, that I wanted to be the first one.
I told you that.
Was specifically because of this. I agree with everything that you said, and before Janet says, I would also like to suggest not only do we stick to the 3 minutes and we don't repeat if we don't have to, or we don't repeat, I would also like us to have a facilitated recording, not just Craig, of things that we would will do and who will do, and I'd be willing to write that down. I don't want us to just have a conversation.
Okay.
I would like to suggest that it's sort of a facilitated,
okay.
That's all that I wanted to put in there, and then
we're together on that. Thank you. You also mentioned something that we are ready for, but I didn't mention. We have two flip charts, and we have flow pens for that purpose. Brian has volunteered, has been drafted to take care of one. And I'm going to ask you, Joy, if you're willing to do it, because I was going to draft Janet, but she said yes, but she wanted really to be free. So
yeah, absolutely.
So if you would take and the I'm going to sort of change my role of chair and just get in the middle and wander around and make sure people speak up. The only suggestion I make to those who take notes is that you alternate so that while one's taking a note of a speaker, the other, it gets ready for it. Okay, Janet, you're on.
Okay, a few things. This development brainstorming, to what I had in mind and some others have in mind, I think, is that we don't think of the term development only when it only about money. Another, you know, like try to stretch the meaning of the word, that maybe developing listenership would be another part of this development brainstorming, and listenership. More listenership would also bring in more money, but so that's one thing. Another is that Burton mentioned, I think, at one of the meetings that we didn't get to this, that once this is over, there would be a follow-up. There would be maybe a committee that would take the ideas and either prioritize them or follow up in some way so that it doesn't just end today. And then finally, any ideas that you have, if you haven't already written them down, it would be great if you did and submitted them in writing to the list or to the committee somehow, the committee that gets formed. Okay.
Anybody? Andrea, pass the mic to Andrea, please.
I have two main concerns. One is that we need a development plan that actually is broadly communicated to the entire KPFA community, I think, so that we can all work in concert and to not work at cross purposes. And I also feel that our development plans need to bear in mind the mission And so I grow uncomfortable when our development efforts are really focused on high-dollar donors. That I'm very interested that when we talk about the development plans, that we should also be talking about the development of a community, the development of this listenership. So I'm much more in favor of ideas that promote a $25 basic membership and access to online premiums, online content, and that we try to focus our areas on publicity. And I think that if we got 2% of the Bay Area to listen to KPFA, we'd be swimming in cash, even at $25 a pop. So I think there's a dynamic relationship also between programming and publicity, that if we have great programming, really dynamic, interesting programming, but if we don't really get the word out visually and in other methods, then it's not really going to accomplish our objectives. Likewise, publicity, if we don't have ways to innovate and update the programming, is also going to fall flat.
Thank you. Frank?
So is this where I put forward my ideas?
Please.
Okay, so my grand idea that I have two, if you guys don't mind, I'll try to just keep them within 3 minutes. Oh, Burton, someone's talking. Okay. One I brought up to Andrew in the past, just briefly, and I have looked into it a little further, was to have sort of a KPF. It's more of a friendraiser, I guess, as the Goalbusters called it, the friendraiser. So it comes what Andrea said, develop the community in turn will support us. But one, my idea I brought up to Andrew a while back was to have, I don't know whether to call it a P-Smart or a KPFA listeners appreciation, whatever you want to call it, but my idea would be at the park across the street where the Occupy was in Berkeley. I talked to Richard Becker, the guy that puts on the answer demonstrations in San Francisco, and I talked to him about how he works the truck, how he gets his equipment. He would be in full support of bringing the equipment, supplying the monitors and the help, the answer crew. You know, I could get more details from him. And then we would have to rent a truck, and then my idea would be to reach out to all the communities that we've served. I would definitely would reach out to the No Drones community who I've worked with, which is Code Pink, the Bay Area Code Pink, all the Occupy people we've had, and, you know, other programmers, people that they had known, to come get on the truck stage and sing their praises, I guess I would say it, of how KPFA has served them and the community. You know, of course, mention their latest fight and what they're fighting for, but also how KPFA has put their voices on the air and, you know, been a tool that they utilize. So basically it would be that, like a demonstration at the park to say, hey, KPFA, thanks for all your work. Here's what we're fighting for. Thank you for putting us on the air. And then maybe a little march over to KPFA down the street, and we could all bow to KPFA and say thank you. And then just march around the block a little bit, you know, and gather up some troops again, and then just go back for a little demonstration at the park. Not like a demonstration against anything, but in celebration of the station. And thank everybody for listening to us, but also coming to our station and speaking about their issues and in support of them. They would be in support of us. So that's my grand idea, and I'm going to look deeper into that, so I hope people will be on board with that. Also, I'd like to have like a week or two of broadcasting leading up to that. I've mentioned before a countdown, you know, a two-week countdown or a week-long countdown, 5 days left to our demonstration on Saturday where we support KPFA. So I won't go no further with that, but that's my idea. I'm going to work forward on that, and then you guys tell me what you think. My other one was the high school broadcasting. Andrea has a lot of ideas about that, too. One time, I think it was 2009, I went back to the high school I graduated. I did a live broadcast there with four student guest hosts. They each host for about a half hour, 20 minutes, interviewed their teachers, a community college counselor that told them how to get a low income or almost free community college education, interviewed their principal, other students, staff.
Oh, yeah, my pins don't work. You wear them out of eight.
That was perfect. That was like right there. And so my broadcast was a live broadcast at the high school between 7 and 8. A lot of their parents came. The kids' parents came. A lot of the teachers, the staff at the school. I invited my old principal back, and I presented him with a certificate of appreciation for teaching us and told a funny story about us, you know, going to school together. And I my time ran out. And I bought all kinds of, I bought my own money, some shirts from the station, and donated them to the teachers and people. So that worked. And I did have one more. But it was this video broadcasting, more video broadcasting by the Iraq Veterans Against the War I did. I would like to do some more of that, and I'm working on one. So high school broadcast live at the high school, student host, and my KPFA Peace March.
Thank you, Frank. Barbara.
Well, there are a couple of things that I've come aware of working around the station, but in the phone room particularly, and that is that we have donors, we send notices to them, and there are some people that are fallen away. And I think if we were going to have some members, say, on the board, take up the task of contacting folks to just talk with them and find out what's going on. You know, if it's everybody in the household's lost their job, then they're not going to be a donor again. But in fact, if it's that they feel disconnected, then a personal contact is going to help. And I think we can use the information we have about donors to contact them on that basis. Then there's also the listener comment line extension, which apparently fills up really fast. And periodically, our business manager has had one of the work-study students working with her take some messages off of there and try to distribute them. I think Margie's done that. And as far as maintaining contact with listeners, I feel like this would be an activity that would really produce some results. And anyway, those are my two most immediate little suggestions.
The next hand.
And the other thing is, by as somebody else mentioned earlier, helping to answer the phones during the fund drive.
Okay. All right, let me, I see Jack, I see Matthew, I see Shram.
You doing that?
Joy is next.
No,
well, you've spoken once, and I'm
telling you. It was more an introduction.
Okay, then I stand corrected. I see Margie. Janet, Margie. I saw you don't have my list.
I started trying to keep one. So what let me just make sure. I have Jack, Matthew, Margie, but Sharon, do you want to? No? Okay, so and Joy, okay, Joy.
And Janet.
And Janet, okay.
And
so,
Mark.
Okay, and so this is what we have. Jack, Matthew, Margie, Joy, Janet, and Mark.
I think that it's a really good idea to talk about the details of things and improving the details of them. But I think that just talking about the details avoids the main issue. And to my mind, the main issue is that here is KPFA, a progressive radio station in what is arguably the most progressive part of the country, and it has a shrinking audience. And if it's a progressive radio station in the most progressive part of the country, and it has a shrinking audience, then somehow or other, the station is not addressing the needs, the desires of the progressive community overall in the Bay Area. Now, there are different ways of thinking about what constitutes the progressive community in the Bay Area, and there are different ways of thinking about what's required to address the needs of a variety of parts of the progressive community in the Bay Area. But that's a conversation that we studiously avoid addressing directly. Instead, what happens is that that crucial conversation is sort of fought out in guerrilla warfare, in which the actual issues that ought to be center stage are fought out by different levels of maneuvering. So I think that part of the development process is to have an honest, open, political and conceptual discussion of what it takes for KPFA to capture or recapture the audience that is its potential as a fundamental part of the process of development. And I put that before the board. Are we willing to engage in that open discussion about the role of a progressive radio station in a complex community of progressives in the Bay Area? If we are, great, and development will follow from that. If we are not, all the details won't help.
Pass the mic to Matthew. Okay, I want to pick up where Jack was, and I've been, you know, on the board now. This is my sixth year, and when I first came in, I had one idea of building the station, and pretty much I had to abandon it because of the dysfunctionality and on the board and the debates and so on, and just did the best I could. But frankly, what the problem, as I see in KPFA, is everybody wants the station to serve their community. They see it as something that sustains and represents their particular circle of friends and their political point of view. The problem is, on the people on this board, their community is not big enough to sustain this radio station. And there are a lot of different communities in the left and in the political progressive community. My point of view is I don't want the station to represent me. I want the station to reach beyond me, to be able to draw in people who are looking for answers who are not in my direct political community. And when I have thought about, I mean, where I work in the Wellstone Club and in the movement in the Democratic Party, I ask people, you know, they say, oh, you were on the KPFA. No, I never listen to it. It's too narrow. It's too this. It doesn't address that. It's not interesting for me. Now, if they listened, I think they'd be surprised that there are better stations than they are aware of. But they don't see this station as representing where they want to go politically and where they want to put their time. And I've always thought, you know, we could take different areas of activity. You could have, like, we could put on an incredible event for a discussion of where's the left going in the Democratic Party? Where are progressives going in the Democratic Party? Bring out big major figures. Have KPFA, you know, cover this thing. And invite all kinds of people to it and use it to help build the station. We could do that in healthcare. We could do that in all kinds of areas. But when we're doing that, we're not looking at KPFA as just representing one point of view. We're doing it for KPFA to put on something that appeals to a broad group of people who are looking for answers. And we're not just putting out something that gives the same old answers to the same old people where it makes them feel good. That approach to this station will see this station wither up and die. Let me run down the list of speakers so people will know who to expect. Margie Wilkinson, Joy Moore, Janet Coburn, Mark Hernandez, Don Goldmacher, and Brian Edwards Tickett so far. We'll keep going. Thank you, folks. Margie, you're on.
I thought it was interesting that somebody said that the people who donate, you know, the way you ask the questions in the phone room, and if you've donated before, and people don't feel appreciated. And so, and I think that I have a very funny reaction to that, because I only get excited when somebody says, no, I've never donated before. And then I go, oh, my God, thank you so much. I'm so, this is wonderful. What made you decide? You know, like, if I have time, I have big, long discussions with them. And if they've said they've donated before, I say thanks. You know, it's like, okay, good. So I just think that's interesting. I think I agree with Barbara. I, for example, would be willing to be part of a team of people who follow up with donors, who talk to them. I'm happy to do that, you know. I worked for the Cal Band for 20 years at UC, and one of the things I had to do was ask for money all the time because the university never gave the band enough money to function. And I talked to all kinds of people, Republicans, you know, right-wingers, people who lived in fancy houses, and ordinary people who sent their children to Cal and whose kids got to be in the band. And so I'm not uncomfortable with asking for money. I would be happy to do that. Or just say to people, how are you doing? How do you like the radio station? What's working for you? What isn't? Whatever we want to do. I think we ought to make a real effort to get people's email lists. I listen sometimes, I confess, to the other stations that have to raise money on the air that are not part of Pacifica. And they're all relying increasingly on asking people before the fund drive starts, you know, join us, send money now. If you send money now, the fund drive will be shorter. Yeah. You know, we won't have to spend as much time, blah, 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 blah. So I think we should work on, I think we should get serious about trying to get people's email addresses. I think that on the website, you know, right where it says donate, it says, do you subscribe to KPFA? If so, give us your email address so we can be in communication with you. Because I think that's important. Not only should you do it on the air, but people should get emails from the station that say, we're about to have a fund drive. You can make this fund drive shorter if you send us money now ahead of time. I think email addresses are, like, really important. And in terms of growing the station into new communities, I live in South Berkeley. There's a group there called Youth Spirit Artworks. They have started since January. They've been having regular poetry slams. And the poetry, these are kids who are either homeless or almost homeless. They are incredibly honest. Their poetry is riveting. And I think if we could do a thing where once a day or maybe once a week to start with, you could have a new poet on the air just, you know, reading a poem, and he could tell his or her friends that I'm going to be on KPFA at 8 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on such and such a day. It would bring people to the station that we don't have now.
Joy, and you're back to being timer.
Okay. First of all, I'm very happy we're doing this. I'm going to take a couple of my 3 minutes just to say that. This is very happy, making me happy. Whatever happens today, my idea is something I've already said several times, and I'm going to continue to say it. All of the wonderful, fantastic, great, absolutely money-making, mind-blowing, philosophy-growing idea we come up with has got to be executed by someone. We can all volunteer as a whole. We can be a committee of the whole. We can do whatever we want as a whole. It's an individual person or two or three who are given the responsibility to garner these ideas, execute these ideas, record these ideas, see them through to the process, and evaluate them. We don't have that capacity. I've been arguing for development something. Development director, you afraid of that? Somebody who's getting paid, they don't have to get paid a lot of money. I've been in the nonprofit world for a long time. There are people out there who will do this job for little money or none in the beginning. We're afraid of having given power to someone to help garner our wonderful energy into some order of semblance, a job an employment. I'm overwhelmed with the notion that this organization has not had development truly, truly in at least 10 years. Truly. We cannot go forward. We will not go forward. I am not predicting failure. I am telling you the fact. If we do not have an organization, a body, a group of people who are dedicated to this one task of redeveloping our resources, we are not going to go forward. And that's all I got to say.
Get that, Brian.
Follow up. Follow up is what I got.
Janet is next.
Yeah. Let me just mention that, well, I have a number of ideas. I talk to different people, and so some of them are from other people, and some of them are from me. So I don't know, I might go beyond 3 minutes, but actually this was supposed to be a committee of the whole where the rules are suspended. So in any case, if you want me to stop after 3 minutes, I'd like to have another turn if I don't finish. Okay, so one of the things that I've thought about, well, I've tried to do and I'm going to try to do it more, is as an individual, get some of those pledge cards, and when I go to events or I'm at a gathering, to just talk up as an individual, asking people if they want to join KPFA. So that really is not something that needs a staff. I mean, we all could do that. Actually, I went into the phone room the other day to try to get cards, which that was difficult. And then what do you do once you have the cards if you get people to sign up? That's another, you know, it requires some thinking through. But, you know, it would have to be brought back to, given to Chris so that he can enter it in the database, that kind of thing. But in any case, that kind of thing can happen. We can do this as individuals. I already talked to Chris about this. So that's one idea. Another is, some people have talked a little bit about this Frank's idea about having a march. But I'm thinking of not only do we want people to come to KPFA, but KPFA, we need to go out to people, out to the communities. And I was talking to somebody the other day who said, yeah, let's go and either stand on a corner, some community where maybe people aren't listening to KPFA and just talk to people and maybe even have a table or a banner and those cards. And anyway, so that's another idea, just outreach into local communities. Another idea is... And this would be developing listenership, which also they would be paying something, hopefully, and so it would be bringing in money. And then another idea that somebody had was high school of the week. Oh, all right, so I only have 30 seconds left.
This turn.
Mm-hmm. This turn. All right, come back to me.
Mark?
A couple of the issues here been brought up, especially by Jack and Matt. The large problem here is a lot of people are elected to this board based on constituencies, and unfortunately are beholden to them. As they pointed out, the constituencies only represent a fraction of the listenership. And if you rely on that and use that as your base of source of information, you're cutting yourself off from the rest of the community. KPFA was not established as a progressive station. In fact, it was completely apolitical, even though the founder is a pacifist. In the 50s and 60s, the John Birch Society had programs on KPFA as part of the regular broadcasting to show how widespread, how wide-ranging political opinion was on the station. How it's devolved to progressive has been a matter of who's been in control of the station. And that is part of what has alienated KPFA from the community. It has isolated itself out of the mainstream community. In a larger sense, to meet our mission, and taking a look at it just from a plain point of view, pretty much we're looking at anybody left of center as our audience. And that's what we should be aiming at in anything we do. Forget who you represent or who you claim to represent. You're actually representing the entirety of the community, and that's who you should be looking for. To that extent, I proposed some time back to a former member of the LSB, and a former member of the board and former CFO, and the research I handed to her disappeared. I could probably do it again. But a long-term program that needs to be done by KPFA would be the establishment of a credit union. This would be to invest in itself, invest in the community, invest in the people. It's outside of the banking industry per se, allows control of the money to be handled within the organization, and allows it to be part of the community as a whole. This can be done either by the station itself or by Pacifica. But either way, it's a means of raising money because, of course, any dividends, other than those being paid back to the members, would also go back to the station. And it would be an impetus for it to be growing and developing and bringing the community in as well.
Okay, so Burton's busy, so I'm just going to read off the speakers. We've got Don, Brian, Tracy, and Burton. And then Andrea had her hand up. She's on. She's going to be the first of the second speakers, right? Second time around. Is there anybody else who wants to speak first time around? Okay, I've got Janet on as a second time speaker. Okay, so Donald. Okay, so we'll come back to Donald. Brian.
So I want to say a couple things about where I think we are in terms of development before I get into what I think we can do. I think the situation we're in right now is that we're relatively good at raising money on the air, but we're doing too much of it. We have hit a point of diminishing returns, and our fund drives drive away listeners. There are a lot of other good public broadcasters in the Bay Area, and some of those listeners find something they like more than us pitching somewhere else. This is a road that we've seen our sister stations go down to the point of insolvency, specifically in New York, although in Los Angeles they follow the same trends. At the same time, as we become desperate to raise more money, what we sound like during our fund drives becomes more and more divorced from what we sound like when we're doing what we think our mission is. And it's a problem when you create a gap between the way you're raising money and what you're doing, what you think your job is. I think the lowest hanging fruit for KPFA is to move more of our fundraising off air. So that means email appeals to people who are already giving, more robust renewals to keep people from dropping their memberships, and it means identifying the people who can give more and escalating them up the donor scale, which is exactly what I think Goalbusters is doing now and is common practice among nonprofits, considered an essential part of a diversified fundraising base. I also think we should celebrate some of our strengths we have as a station. So one thing we're incredible at is putting on these community events. We sold out Jeremy Scahill last night at the First Congregational Church. Now, we should look at these as more than just isolated events and more than speeches that we use to raise money. These should be an opportunity for donor engagement. We get to know our donors better, invite a couple people who might not otherwise think to do it to come to a specific event, meet station staff and speakers. The second thing I think we need to build on is the fact that we're a large organization. There's a lot of people involved in KPFA. If you add up our paid staff, our unpaid staff, the member of this board, and our community advisory board, you're at nearly 300 people. So we can fundraise over our airwaves, but we can also fundraise over our networks. If you ask, how did KPFA's building get built in downtown Berkeley 20 years ago? I asked the people who were around for that. Well, the guy running the campaign, Dick Bunce, apparently sat down with everybody working at the station one-on-one and said, who do you know? Who do you know that might give money, small or large, to a campaign to build KPFA? Worked through the networks. Because if there's, you have 300 people who each know people, they have friends and family, and they can do the ask if they're given the right support. That's a powerful adjunct to the on-air fundraising we do. And I think the third thing that we should build on, we lament the fact that we have an aging listenership. But we should also celebrate and build on the fact that we have people who have known and cherished this radio station for their entire lives. And we should be doing everything we can to make sure that they are doing planned giving, that they are considering KPFA when they draw up their wills, and that they're doing what they can for KPFA in their late years. This is potentially a strength, and it is a way for them to give to the next generation and to programs at KPFA that don't necessarily appeal to a wealthy demographic. So those are my thoughts.
Well, it seems to me there's a couple of fairly straightforward things that we could look at. One of the things we have to look at is our annual promotion budget. We don't have one. There are many people who walk around the Bay Area, have no idea what KPFA is, and as has been pointed out, another huge chunk of people who walk around with a bunch of impressions about what KPFA is. It doesn't necessarily have any relationship to what we are now. So to me, promotion really basically has to be a priority. And that means when you look at the budget coming up and you see a promotional budget of $600 or whatever amount we put in, we have to say, no, that's not enough, because we as a board are serious about development and we need to develop the image of this station in this community. When you're talking about membership benefits, it seems to me that, I mean, this is the old pledge drive conundrum. One person out of every 10 is the ratio of listeners to subscribers, and if you could turn it into 2 out of 10, all of your financial problems would be solved. And believe me, there's, you know, PowerPoint presentations up the wazoo about how to do this, and nobody has the answer. But I think part of the question is, what could we do to amplify the benefits of being a member or subscriber apart from being a listener in a way that's valuable to people, and valuable to a different set of people than the people who want to buy the $120 DVDs because we've already got them. So the question is, what do we do for some other folks that makes it valuable for them to say, I can listen for free, but I have to pay to get this? I mean, one thing that you can look at, it seems to me, and Andrea had brought up the issue of archives access and goodies that we could give people access to in terms of online core mobile content. I think that makes a lot of sense. Doesn't cost anything. We have it anyway. And for a lot of people, that would be valuable. I think we could look at access to some of our speakers that everybody wants to see. There's no reason not to have donor mixers at these events. Brian had mentioned it. And yes, you can sell it to $1,000 donors, and you can do that. And you can also take a look at whether donor mixers in smaller donors, you know, the opportunity to meet someone could potentially turn them into a bigger donor or a more consistent donor. I have a lot more to say, for what it's worth. Another thing I think you can do is, and I've said this for years, is we have the opportunity to sort of work with the community in a collaborative manner to broadcast information about local issues that are important. If we went through a process every year or every 6 months where we asked for proposals for special programming from the community and drummed up some excitement about it, and maybe used our apprenticeship program and some other folks that were willing to work with the winning groups to help them create an appropriate program, I think you would generate so much community goodwill and so much sense that KPFA is there for us, we need to be for them, that you would have new members, new donors, and new subscribers for life. And I have lots more to say, so when there's a second chance, I'd like 3 more minutes.
I want to come back to the theme of speaking to the choir, which is essentially what I think this radio station does right now, for the most part. And as part of that, as we talk about trying to grow our audience and grow the revenue associated with that, we're really talking about 2 different audiences, it seems to me. And I think we should be honest about that. That we're trying to reach people who are low income or struggling or very modest means, who don't have a lot of money to give to this radio station. But we want to make them listeners with compelling radio. And at the same time, we also want to reach people who do have some money, who can contribute, you know, at a better level than $25 or even less, and give more. But we have to be honest about it. These are 2 different audiences, and these are 2 different outreach strategies that we need to think through. And the final thing about that is it is very hard for us, and those of us who are on the board who represent this station, to reach out to people to give money when they continue to hear about turmoil at this station. So every time there's a hiccup of every 6 to 9 months, and you can almost depend on the beat here, I lose the ability to convince people to write checks to this station. Because they say, I'm not going to give more to this, and so Pacifica can do A, B, C, or D. I mean, they're really angry about that. And frankly, I understand the anger, because I share it. Now, number 2, very quickly, because I'm showing I'm running out of time. When 960 AM was on the air, with Tom Hartman and Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz and blah, 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 they grabbed huge audience numbers here in the Bay Area, relatively speaking. Why didn't we grab those people when that station went right wing because it's owned by Clear Channel? We lost those listeners. We never got to them in the first place. And so third thing, that brings us to programming quality. Can we honestly say that we have the continuous level of programming throughout the day and into the evening that's going to bring in not just the choir, not just progressives who already believe, but people who've never heard this radio station before, people who would hear a Richard Wolff for the first time trying to break down economics 101 for the masses. They don't hear it any place else. No other station is doing that. So those programs that have it, we need to push. Finally, am I over, Margie?
Yeah, you're out of time.
Okay. I'll come back on the second round. When I came back into the station after a half century, I promised I would never do this. But back in my time, Mark's statement started me on this, and that was that originally this station was not a progressive station. It was a station that had a mission of supplying essential information to the audience that was information of importance that was not available elsewhere on the dial or not as available elsewhere on the dial. It was not a purpose of putting our views out into the air. We had we thought of the audience as our major purpose. It was not the person speaking, but our service to the audience. One of the things that was a definite rule for staff, paid and unpaid, is staff does not advocate. And that is, you put on views of people who hold views of importance, and you let the audience intelligence make its own choice with regard to that aspect. Margie, how am I on time?
You have a minute and a half left.
Okay. To those who want to persuade, to use the microphone to persuade, I really wish you wouldn't, but I give two pieces of advice. In my view, there's a two differences of very valid things. One is to vent, to state your outrage. It's a valid thing to do. The other is to speak to people who do not yet agree with you and make them understand where you're coming from. And if you want to persuade people, I don't think it's the mission of the station, but don't vent. Talk to them in terms of educating them so they'll come to your view. And finally, from a person who introduced the On the Air Fund Drive to KPFA, one of the things we did was we stopped broadcasting except for news, and we had a party and had bands, celebrities come in and talk to the views of the station. And one last thing, forgive me for saying this, folks. I hear the pitches today, not so much as celebrations of KPFA, but a bargain basement argument for why we can get various premiums at a cut rate. Forgive me for all that.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, so speaker's list is, let's see, Burton. He spoke. He's a speaker's list. David, I'll put myself on the first-time speakers. Then we have Andrea, Janet, Tracy, Donald as second-time speakers. Any first-time speakers? Samsara, okay, you'll come after me.
Just to remind you, we understand that we have about 15 minutes left in the hour. I just want people to be aware.
Okay, we have about 15 minutes left, so concise comments. Anybody else, first-time speaker? David, go ahead.
All right. I like the access to speakers thing. One of the different charitable organizations that I work with, the Rex Foundation, Wavy Gravy stuff, they do these things where they have public events and they have meet-and-greet receptions before where people pay extra and they get to schmooze with Jackson Browne or whatever and they get a poster. And there are various ways you can add value to an event by having a reception before or after, gifts and things like that. So that's definitely an idea that's worth exploring around, over and above the events that we're doing already. There are a couple things that I do. I'm fortunate as a music programmer to have an audience that's actually global. And I have listeners from all over the place, so I feature local music, but I also feature music that's of universal interest. And I've been fortunate to be able to put out a couple of CDs or download packages of music from my show. I get the musicians to agree, you know, can I play a song from your live show and stuff like that. And those are available on an ongoing basis. You can go to kpfa.bandcamp.com and buy a download package of music. It's called Best of or Live from Berkeley Volume 2. And I hope to do another one of those in time for my winter marathon, have Volume 3, because I always have live music on throughout the year. And those kind of things that we can generate locally that have value universally. It says live performances from KPFA's Dead to the World, and there are people in England who own copies of this broadcast and stuff. So, you know, there are things we can do that show the value of what KPFA produces and make those available and have them out in the world as a way of inducing people to dig what we're doing.
Craig.
Yeah, you're working on. Well, that's actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was just struck by the fact that all of our discussion to this point has been about politics. And one of the things, I listen to the weekend programming a lot, the musical programming, and one of the things I really appreciate about KPFA is you can listen to music there that you cannot find elsewhere on the radio dial. And that, I think, is one of the real strengths of KPFA. And I would urge us to incorporate Our musical component in discussions of development, we need to build our political audience, and I agree with much of what everybody else has said. I think we can actually do all of this, or we should be doing all of this. There's nothing here that's mutually exclusive. But our musical audience is a treasure trove, and that we can expand. The only challenge there is how to do it, I think, technically and you know, financially. But the musical audience is there. We offer music that you just cannot find anywhere else. So I just want to encourage us to include the musical component in our discussions on development.
Samsara, do you please grab a mic?
Hi there. I wanted to just briefly, but there's a couple of things that came up for me, and one was spoken on briefly, and I just want to amplify that a bit more in how important it is for people to see how the reputation of KPFA is to the outside world. When I was running for the board and I had to get all my signatures so I can be considered, many people who became members just so they could support me. And I had a large number of people who made it their business to call me and ask me if I really wanted to do this. and I think that's really sad. I don't think that's funny at all. And it reflects on this station, and it's unfair to the good intentions that I hear in this room. I mean, people here are trying to do good things. But out in the wide world of sports, I mean, people are concerned for my health that I'm here. And that's not cool. And I also want to say that it's important that people in our group consciousness think of more than just Berkeley. Like, there's Oakland and the outlying areas. And it feels like another conception is from Oaklanders and the young Oaklanders that I know and love and serve is that KPFA is for Berkeley and it's for white people. And that's not okay either, because young people are the future of any organization. We want to bring young people in of all colors and of all thoughts and all feelings. And Oakland's a pretty big city, full of rich diversity, although it's dwindling, and some incredibly powerful people, young people of color. And I want them to feel that their community radio station speaks for them also, and that they can play a part and have a role. Also, as a person who's neither Republican nor Democrat, I want to say that, you know, I'd love to see, you know, politically something more than that going on the air. This talk of whether this is a progressive station or not, it's interesting for me to hear. I love hearing that history. But I just want to say, you know, for me as a member of the Green Party, I don't hear that on KPFA at all. And I very rarely hear anything other than what's considered progressive, which I don't necessarily support. So,
thank you. Now, we're going to, in a second, go to people who have spoken for the second time, but I'm going to give people a chance who have not yet spoken, who would like to speak. Okay. Andrea, Janet, Tracy, Donald.
Well, I wanted to mention a couple things. I've actually tried to relate to the development efforts, and I wanted to be on this list that we need to figure out how to get everybody talking in the same conversation. I have sent plans to GoBusters, sent them to the IGM, and I haven't really heard anything back about them. One of the plans was a publicity plan called Get the Signal, and the idea was that we were going to try to focus on San Jose through bus signs, billboards, that there's actually a $5,000 loan that is available. And I'm surprised that I didn't get any feedback from that. I don't understand GoBusters' mission if it's not to have some interaction on some of this stuff. And if we're talking about visibility, et cetera, I just don't understand. Like, even to say it's a bad idea, at least it would sort of give me the respect or make me feel like I'm in the ballpark. I also think that we need an outreach coordinator. I think the outreach committee has done a really admirable job of trying to find its way through the station, but I feel like, again, emulating the Berkeley rep, who has this whole mentoring program in the schools where they send people out to work with my, I had a Berkeley rep actor come and work with my class, help us write a play, you know, and go to Berkeley rep and see a play. Wouldn't that be awesome if KPFA could actually establish ongoing relationships with young people and cultivate Like, I don't think we can only talk about planned giving. We've got to do both ends. We've got to be thinking about the future. I also think that we need to prioritize the program council and how programming is renewed and refreshed. Because more and more I'm talking to people who are saying that they're dedicated. They love KPFA, and they're just not listening to it. They say, well, actually, truth to tell, I'm not listening to it as much as I used to. And I'm hearing that over and over again. And it's the programming is just we don't have a mechanism for renewing it, for refreshing it. So I think that's a top priority, and it's got to be part of our development plan. I also think that phone calls to increase the fulfillment rates on pledges. I think we're doing these mailings, and I've asked for this in the past. Let's do an analysis. How effective is the first mailing? The reminder, the second one, the third one. We're spending a lot of money on postage and printing. Well, maybe not printing, but to get those out, I'm just curious to see what the fulfillment rate would look like if we had people actually calling folks up. Thank you. And so if you have information on how it compares to actually having people phone call and say, hi, would you like to satisfy your pledge? I hear you. And getting the kind of information that might help us to build those relationships that I thought I heard you talking about earlier, so maybe we could feed two birds with one bagel, as they say. Anyway, I think prioritizing. I think at the end of this whole process, we need to prioritize, and I would love to hear the GMs, the IGMs, and the interim GMs talk about how we're going to engage the LSP and that we're not just spinning our wheels here.
Pass the mic to Janet, please.
Well, I want to say how I really appreciate this. I think some great ideas are coming up. KPFA is not just for white people who live in Berkeley. It's also not for just people who can afford to purchase whatever the premiums are. And even some people can't even afford $25. And yes, people can become members by volunteering for 3 hours, something like that. But there are people who just cannot afford even $25 who listen. But I was talking to Davey D the other day. He lives near me in Oakland. And he was saying how he could go down the street and many, many people would pay $5, would give $5. Many people. Who listen to KPFA, but they do not feel included. And so some mechanism, I thought of something like a card that, say, if you contribute $5, you'll get a card with that can be punched. And if you contribute over the year five times, you can become a member, that kind of thing, or you just are appreciated for whatever and it recognized. So that's another idea. And then this High School of the Week, somebody wrote, feature a High School of the Week, have different reports on that high school on the air at a particular time every day for 7 days, done by kids in conjunction with volunteer staffers and or LSB members. How green is your high school? Featured teachers. Anti-war poetry contest. Work with Oakland A's and Giants, SF Giants, to give away free tickets each week for something. Vote on what's your favorite song? And some other ideas. So basically trying to reach out to high school students. And I think, I can't remember, was it Andrea or Frank talked about having high school students on the air also. So that kind of piggybacks with that. And then I don't know if somebody mentioned this. Do we have or we could get a sound truck, or somebody might have a sound truck that can just drive around and play KPFA and have signs and stop here and there and just, you know, so bring KPFA to the communities. And then finally, this has been mentioned other times by many people in different places, multimedia platforms. So there's people don't listen to the radio, but maybe they have their doing podcasts or whatever, and that kind of thing.
Okay, so speakers list is Tracy and Donald, and then we're coming up to our one-hour time limit. So unless there's anybody else who's dying to speak, we can cut it off there. Okay, it's Tracy and then Donald.
Well, the kinds of challenges that are coming up here are not unusual. There's a whole school of development called grassroots fundraising that's very specifically about how you deal with the challenges of bringing in enough money for a sustainable operation when you don't want to operate solely on behalf of coverage people, and you want to serve and maintain a constituency of folks who are not that well endowed with extra money. So I would suggest that you guys pay some attention to GIFT, the Grassroots Fundraising Institute, which is located right in downtown Oakland. They did come to this board and give a presentation about a year and a half ago about which we did nothing. But I think these challenges are all over the place, and KPFA is not the only entity that experiences them. So rather than perhaps observing that they exist, we have to look at what we're going to do about them. Okay. I think we have to really pay attention to the fact that currently, the amount of independent and or alienated voters greatly is larger than the number of voters who identify as progressive Democrats. So if we're talking about a broad audience and we're talking about reaching people, I think we have to watch our assumptions a bit. I think our assumptions may be slightly outdated. And the population of California is changing dramatically. It's not a majority white state anymore, and it's going to become less and less so over time. So a lot of these notions about communities being small, they're less small all the time, and they're getting bigger. And what we're defining as a broad community is actually heading in the direction of being a small and a segmented community. Demographics are important. I think we have to look at the history of this station. In recent history, this station is very identified with the free speech movement and with the activism of the 60s, with the Black Panthers, with airing those kinds of voices. That's your imagery. If you want to update that and make some statement that this is another kind of station, that's going to take promotion and that's going to take paying attention to branding, because that's what people think you are. And of course, if they walked into this board meeting, I could see why they would think that. So we have to take a look at what KPFA is going to be for the next 20 or 30 years, start thinking about that and start projecting that. Okay, two other things. Language and assumptions. Again, I think we have to look at notions like it's ordinary to send your children to Cal. For many people, getting the first person in their family to a four-year university is not ordinary at all. And some of this language about ordinary and broad really needs to be looked at, because it's assumptions that we're projecting, and it's assumptions that let a lot of people out, and it's not such a small number. And finally, on advocacy journalism, you know, a lot has changed in the past 20 or 30 years, and at this point, the cult of objectivity is really something which has a declining amount of adherence, and I think we have to look really closely at what responsible advocacy journalism is and not cling to outdated notions that, frankly, the majority of the American population doesn't support anymore.
Last, Donald.
Yes. I agree, actually, with what Tracy just said about changing demographics. And I think the challenge for this station, as for other stations like it, is, again, what are we putting out there? And, for example, you know, I hate to use those call letters, KALW or KQED, but I'll just focus on KALW. Which is an NPR station, local, and what is it that they're doing so successfully to garner audience that we can learn from? Secondly, social media, new media. We are still behind the curve on that, unless somebody here on staff wants to correct me on that. But the use of Facebook, YouTube short videos, tweeting, and really promoting the fact that, for example, shows like David's and everybody's are available online all the time for 2 weeks on the archive at least. That's a very powerful resource. But again, it doesn't address the issue of, are those programs relevant to a younger audience? And I submit to all of us here in the room that the biggest issue out there that we face is called class warfare. And that is the long and short of what is going on in this country. And the programming that we have around it, we should look at whether it's adequate, whether it's really addressing it, and whether we are providing solutions. People coming on the air talking about, how do we deal with this? What's the new paradigm? We just had Carl Perovitz out here a couple of weeks ago talking about a whole new economy, a whole different way of thinking about it. It seems to me that's the kind of stuff we need to be talking about. There are kids who are graduating college for whom there are not going to be any jobs, who have no jobs, who are currently unemployed. That's who we want to be talking to. I'll just leave it there.
Yeah, I think Don just said some really good things. I mean, the thing is, I think my view of this station is it's got to make a difference, right? I want it to break out of its old patterns and its old constituencies, but if it doesn't make a difference, if it doesn't have a sense of what its mission is, I don't think it's going to make it either. It can't just be a station for people who want, you know, to hear their own music or whatever. I think that's an important part of it, but I think it also has to have an identity, a political identity, where people feel this is their station, just like these old folks who support it because they like the mission. I think the mission has to be something that people feel is important. In that regard, I want to just respond to some of the stuff that Tracy said, which is just, you can throw water on everything, you know? Oh, we have different graphics, we have different this, we have different that. As an organizer, I've always believed you start with what you got. You know, there's no point in talking about what you don't have if you don't have a way to get there. And so you start with what you got. And what we have is we have a lot of people in different communities and different constituencies in the Bay Area, in Northern California. And we have entree to more communities. But we got to start with what we got. And we have to have a strategy. And I'm telling you, there are people who would listen to our radio if there were shows that were making news. And that's what I've tried to say. It's not just reporting. It's not just, you know, having a show where somebody expresses opinions on things. But there are events that make news. And I think the idea of KPFA sponsoring certain kind of community forums on really vital issues that are facing different groups of people. I mean, this thing with youth debt is just this huge thing. $1 trillion in debt, people with student loans, you know. The health care, yeah, right. You know, there's fantastic things that we could do. That just brings people to an event. To bring them to KPFA is the next step, where we need to also then have programming changes, so that once they connect to KPFA, they can find a reason to continue. So anyhow, I think we could do a lot, but we have to think it through.
Okay, we've been pretty good in keeping together with regard to the time, a little bit over. Two things, I see your hand, Janet, that I picked up on. One is we must not let this just drop into an abyss. Mm-hmm. And the other is an opportunity for prioritizing, and I don't mean that I'm covering all of the suggestions about procedure, but what I had in mind was to ask a volunteer or two who would be willing to type up the notes and email them to the board before our next meeting. If nobody would do it, I think it's so important, I will be that volunteer, but I hope somebody here locally will do it. The second thing is we might want to consider, and I suggest that we do it for the next meeting, of setting up a follow-through procedure and a prioritizing procedure. The reason why I say the next meeting is I draw to our attention that we've got a lot on our agenda and we're about 2 hours behind. A little bit more than 2.5 hours behind. So with the indulgence of the board, is there, first of all, a volunteer or two who will type up the notes? Okay, I'll take them back to Oregon and they will be done. That is important. Not that I do it, but they be done. Is it agreeable with the board that we move on to the agenda, but that we put, Janet, you wanted to speak on this issue, please.
Well, I have a motion that is related to what you're saying.
Please go ahead.
I wrote it before you spoke. So it's a development committee be formed to review the brainstorming ideas that were shared today, group them, and bring them to the next LSB meeting to be prioritized and prepare a follow-up plan.
Is there a second?
I'll second, but I have a clarification.
Sure, you can ask your question.
My question is this I mean, there's several development committees floating around this network. So I'm trying to figure which one this would be linked to. And does this mean this is linked to the local station board efforts to have a development to the Goalbusters? My understanding is that Goalbusters and staff and management are meeting to develop. Are we trying to make official LSB participation?
I'm going to be rude. Your question is clear. Janet, what committee did you have in mind?
Well, that's fine. What Andrea said, and that one of the things that
name
committee would do
specifically.
Would be...
Name a committee that you would like to have this responsibility.
I'm sorry?
Name one of the committees that you would like to have this responsibility.
Well, I think that would... I'm thinking mostly in terms of what we did today, but I also would like it to be in coordination with other efforts.
So you were thinking of a new committee, an ad hoc committee for this?
An ad hoc, yeah, or...
I'll make a separate motion.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Andrea. I didn't hear what you just said.
Separate motion.
Okay. While that's underway... the next item on the agenda is the, and we'll come back to it, is the general manager's report. I'm going to recommend that we switch the order, that we hear from the pro tem interim general manager first, because that's an open session, and then we go into the executive session, so the people who have to be excluded, and there are at least three people here, will have an opportunity to hear from the pro tem. And if I hear no objections, that's the way we'll go. I hear no objections. You, sir, are on. And we'll come back to the motion, I promise you. Margie?
I just think that... many of us have never met this gentleman before, so I think we should go around the room and say who we are. And I just have to say your name.
Fine. And that would be very helpful. The reason why you got my nonverbal is I hear the ticking of the clock, but that's an excellent suggestion.
But I think we need to.
You start it.
Okay. Hello, I'm Margie Wilkinson. I've been a member of this board for 3 years, and I'm currently serving on the Pacifica National Board.
Pass it to Frank. Andrea is working.
I'm Frank Sterling. I think we met already a little bit. We're technical director of the apprenticeship program, also local station board staff representative.
I'm Brian Edwards Tiekert. I host up front, and I'm a member, a staff representative on the local and national boards.
Pointed to Sharam.
Hello, Richard. Sharam Agamir, staff rep on LSP. This is my sixth year on the board.
Louis Sawyer, staff rep. This is my... Margie and I were elected about the same time, so we'll be termed out at the same time.
To Joy. And watch out, it's caught in the chair.
And I met you already, Richard. Joy Moore. I'm a graduate apprentice, and I produce for Full Circle and About Health, and I sometimes host.
I'm Jose Luis Fuentes. I'm an attorney here in Oakland at Sigourney. First year on the board.
I'm Jack Kurzweil, listener representative. I've just avoided being hopelessly confused.
I'm Matthew Hallinan, listener representative for 6 years.
Mark Hernandez, listener representative, off and on since 1999.
I'm David Gans. I'm a music programmer since 1986. Local station board member representing the staff and also a member of the unpaid staff organization council.
Barbara Whipperman, treasurer for the LSB.
I'm Burton White. I served on the staff in the 60s. I was in public affairs. I also was the first. I was a development director at that time. I moved to Oregon and I commute to the board meetings. I'm a listener rep.
my name is Craig Alderson. I'm a listener representative. This is my first year as an elected board member. I'm the secretary of the board. Just want to note, in case you're not aware, that the reason we're using microphones is not just for amplification, but the meeting is archived and available on the web. Not to give you any more pressure, but that's why we're using them. So welcome.
My name is Don Goldmacher.
Cynthia Johnson, third year on the board.
My name is Samsara Morgan, and this is my first board meeting, new member of the board.
Ramses Teo Nichols, and I was just recently elected to the board. And my full-time job is elected vice president of my union, SEIU 1021.
Janet Coburn, listener member. I've met you before.
Andrea Pritchett, listener representative.
And listeners and other supporters of the station are very important. There are three here. I would like them to introduce themselves to you, too.
I'm Mary Margaret Scribner. Volunteer is my regular.
I'm Nancy Pollan. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm a... I'm a volunteer for KPFA. Outreach.
Hi, Brian Lipson. Nice to meet you.
And now it's your turn, sir.
Okay. Give that man a microphone.
Yes.
Something like that.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I did want to first address what I have to assume is the biggest concern of the LSB. And I have to assume it because it's been told to me in so many different ways at so many times. I was appointed by Pacifica National as the interim general manager. My tenure here will be short. It is based on a timeline to accomplish certain goals set by Pacifica National. I am not a candidate for the permanent general manager position. I am not a candidate for the permanent program director position. I am not a candidate at the national level for the permanent executive director position. I was in the past, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but that's the past, and this is the present. With regard to what I've been charged to do, there is going to be an investigation of procedures and concerns at the station. The investigation is going to be done by an outside firm
selected by Pacifica National. The concern is, from the national standpoint, that unless these activities, these concerns, these procedures are addressed, that the station will have difficulty continuing, and so will the network. Some of you had mentioned about having difficulty getting people to contribute to Pacifica. From what National tells me, one of the most difficult things would be asking someone to give money to any entity and say, oh, by the way, we periodically get sued and we lose in court and the settlements are in the six figures. Pacifica National says that can't continue, hence the investigation. I would like to point out that no one individual is the target of the investigation. No one entity comprised of individuals is the target of the investigation. The reason for this is that what is being targeted goes beyond the tenure of any individual and any entity of individuals still at the station. These are long-standing problems. The history of these lawsuits goes back years, from what I've been told. And the purpose of having an IGM come in at this point is simply to make sure that at least in terms of both in practice and in appearance, there is nothing done to in any way obstruct the investigation, nothing done where anyone is accused of steering the investigation or preventing the investigation from lurking in certain areas or prejudicing the investigation so that some person, some faction at the station might gain some advantage. The whole idea is to present to the station, to this board, and to the public that Pacifica is concerned, Pacifica recognizes how important this is, and Pacifica is going to do whatever it takes to rectify the situation. I've also been charged with developing a report to be presented to Pacifica National, to be presented to this station, and if it is deemed appropriate, presented to other stations in the Pacifica network. The report covers all areas of station operations. Some of you have talked today about what needs to be done. Pacifica National has expressed a concern that neither the network nor the stations lack for ideas or proposals, but it might lack in terms of procedures and implementation. We're going to be studying everything from programming to development, every aspect of station operations, and reporting on it. To this end, I've been meeting with as many people as possible at the station. I do hope to meet with everybody in this room. If possible, if you're going to be by the station, please let me know. We'll try and schedule an interview. If that's not possible, perhaps we can meet some other time. We can probably schedule something. I probably will be here long enough for that. It's important that I hear from all of you. It's important that I hear from as many people as possible at the station. I have to tell you, I got a bit of a chilly reception on my first day there. But even those who are the most frosty have met with me, or at least some of them have, and they've been very forthcoming and very friendly. It's not necessarily that they want me here. I'm sure they would still be happy if I weren't. But by the same token, they also seem to recognize that some things need to be done. And the study of what the station is doing now and how it does it And whether it could do it better is something that they all seem to agree needs to be done. So I hope you feel the same way, and that I hope you'll be willing at some point to talk with me. It doesn't have to be a long talk. We can do it on the phone if necessary. We can do it by email. I don't want to impose on any of you, but I do need to hear from you. The last thing I've been charged to do is, kind of manage the station, too. Stuff pops up, you know, things like that, the general managing of the station. So I'll be doing those three things. And again, the timeline for me being here is incorporated with the investigation, the selection of a permanent GM, and the decision by Pacifica National, after the selection committee has made their choices, to make that decision. And my tenure at that point comes to an end. It may come to an end even sooner. This depends on Pacifica National. I serve at its sufferance. So there could be, if there are delays in any of those three things that I mentioned, there could be yet another IGM. I don't know. That's Pacifica National's choice. Again, I want to thank you for welcoming me. I just want to give you just a little bit of my background, because there is a very slight chance that I've met or spoken with some of you in the past, and I've made such an impression that you've forgotten. My first contact in terms of employment with Pacifica goes back to the 1990s. I was the director of broadcasting at LIU, and I was under consideration for the general manager position at a station in New York called WBAI. I met with them several times, had some interviews, and they chose another candidate. Fast forward to November of 2009. I and three others were flown down to a Pacifica National Board meeting in Houston. The four of us were candidates for the executive director position of Pacifica. I did meet with the contingents from all five stations, and I did meet with the folks from, obviously, KPFA. If anybody was on the national board at that time, we probably talked. I was not chosen at that meeting by the Pacifica National Board as executive director. At that time, I believe it was Arlene who was chosen. However, I did meet, as I say, contingents from all the stations, and there were some very nice people. And at that meeting, and subsequently, they would phone or write to me and let me know that a Pacifica position somewhere in the network was open, and would I consider applying for it. So I did. And in 2010, there were four general manager positions open all throughout Pacifica. And I applied for all four, and I became a candidate, a finalist at three of those four stations. One of those stations was KPFA. If anybody was on that selection committee in 2010, we probably talked. And that was really a very nice experience, folks. Interviews can be really tedious, but at KPFA and at one other Pacifica station, it wasn't just a rather static interview. Yes, it was. At that particular time, we actually discussed things. We actually discussed scenarios. It wasn't just, you know, what was your hardest decision or what's your biggest flaw? We actually were talking about concerns about the station and what we would do. And it was, again, the scenario unfolded because there would be back and forth from the people on the committee following through on the scenario. Despite being a finalist at those three stations, I didn't get selected as general manager for any of them. It probably did not help me that the person who would pick me was the person who was, I guess, considered my rival as in the executive director position. So I have a fair amount of contact with Pacifica. I still am in contact with those folks from the PNB from long ago. I still get emails or phone calls periodically, and it's nice to hear from them. I am here because I like Pacifica. I wouldn't have applied all those times if I didn't. I'm here because I think I can help Pacifica. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think I could. I know one thing for certain, though. I just think, I know. I know that to do what I've been tasked to do, I am going to need your help. And I look forward to talking to you all about that. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, Jack.
Well, first, I want to join in welcoming you here. Again, I'm Jack Kurzweil. And I will, with an open heart, participate in whatever process you are trying to lead in resolving or addressing issues at KPFA. Having said that, I want to put flat out on the table what my reservations are. It is my deep and firm belief that many of the questions that you are charged with investigating have their origins not here at KPFA, but at Pacifica, in the persons of members of the Pacifica National Board, and in the persons of present and past executive directors of the Pacifica National Board, who have, in my view, contributed mightily to the financial instability of the Pacifica Network, who have in an unwarranted way interfered with local management and programming functions at KPFA, so that you have been hired and you report to the very people who in a major way contributed to the problems of this station. I do not envy you your position. I frankly do not understand a process by which the investigation is ordered by and responsible to those people and institutions who have been major factors in causing the problems. Having said that, life is what it is. And I will help you with an open heart in any way that I can.
I have on the list for speakers Donald, Janet, Andrea, Matthew, Donald.
Welcome to Berkeley.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
I have several questions rather than statements. Firstly, could you tell us how long ago you were contacted by Pacifica's executive director to assume this job?
I would have to go back. I was initially contacted by phone, and I don't know what day that was. The phone calls were followed up by...
Ballpark?
The initial contact?
Mm-hmm.
Late January, early February of this year.
Okay. Why'd you take this job?
Well, I do feel, and I have felt for some time now, that I have some skills and abilities that could help Pacifica. I guess part of it, too, is that if I didn't, I didn't really have a very good excuse. In other words, I have some beefs with Pacifica too. Those nice people that I met, I think highly of them at the PNB, or at least the ones I met. I don't think so highly of their choice of executive directors, but you know that was their choice and they made it. Then I have to tell you, when I was first contacted by Pacifica National
about this,
yeah, well, yeah, I was reluctant. Simply because I had read an auditor's report that was posted on Pacifica National, I guess, toward the end of 2011. And the auditor's report said that unless there were major changes in the operations of the stations and the network, that, in the auditor's word, by the end of next year, which would have been December of 2012 or November of 2012, the stations and the network would not be fiscally viable. That was a big concern to me, and I was assured, well, especially since that date passed and Pacifica and the stations are still here, I was assured that that is no longer the case, that Pacifica is on the road back, and that if... If I were willing to be a part, that I might be able to help things move forward too. And as I say, I had at that meeting in Houston had promised that if Pacifica needed me and wanted me to do something, that I would be willing to do it. I applied for all those positions all those times, and this particular time was just another one of those chances. So I thought I really didn't have any excuse to say no this time.
My apologies to all. I goofed. The procedure we set when we had reports from the IGM is that the report would be given, then questions would be asked, and the interim general manager would answer them all at once rather than question after question after question. So my bad. Would you finish with your questions? We'll then turn to Janet and Matthew. And then take notes and respond all at once rather than piecemeal. My apologies to everybody concerned. My fault.
Okay, just very quickly, because I assume we want to go into an executive session as soon as we can. Number one, how long is your contract for and how much are you being paid? You mentioned concerns and procedures by the Pacifica National Board about KPFA's practices and therefore the need to investigate. But in fact, most of those lawsuits were in the past and none of them were under the current aegis of the current IGM, Mr. Phillips sitting to your left, I believe. And what you were really saying from what your introductory remarks was is that KPFA is being targeted by Pacifica's ED as opposed to her addressing the imminent bankruptcy of the network due to problems at WBAI and now the DC station. We are not the problem. Pacifica's National Board with their IED is the problem, and we are being scapegoated yet once again. And I caution you, while you are here, to really, really, really have an open set of ears and mind about what you're hearing and seeing. It took the current IGM about a year to sort it out. You may not have that much time.
Janet, pass the mic, please.
Yeah, I'm a little confused because right now there are two individuals in this room whose title is interim general manager with some other things added, and both also, my understanding, in the building. And what's the difference? And I mean, Richard, you said. You said one of your responsibilities is general management of the station. In any case, so I'm confused about why there are two IGMs and who does what. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's confused. And I know that This is a difficult position for both the IGMs to be in right now.
Andrea. Pass the mic, please.
Good afternoon, Richard. We had the opportunity to meet the other night, but I want to ask you a few questions as well. I'm concerned about the language of investigation, and because it puts this kind of wrongdoing, this sort of sinister, like you're gonna like find the wrongdoer and get them, you know, like the marshal coming into town.
Excuse me, one thing, if I could just interrupt, because this is probably gonna touch on other people too. The investigation is coming from outside. I don't run the investigation, I don't oversee it. The only thing I do is help to facilitate whatever is necessary for the investigation to proceed. It's not my investigation, I don't draw the judgments at the end or anything else.
I understand that I get the difference. I guess I'm saying that if you're trying to understand, I'm going to just share this one person's perspective, it feels bad. It feels bad that we have not gotten a shred of piece of paper of notice that this is going down, that we don't. I'm personally very opposed to open-ended investigations, that everybody's just supposed to throw open their doors and hearts and heads and everything to, and God only knows to what end. I have no idea who we're supposed to be talking to. I get it that you're talking to the ED, the IED, who sadly doesn't respect us enough to communicate directly. And I wish you would communicate that to her for me and
the rest of us.
I also think open-ended investigations are a very bad precedent. I also think that if what we're talking about is a consulting situation, that makes all the sense in the world. And a lot of us could talk to you about institutional dynamics and things that are wrong with the governance structure and the way that KPFA operates. I think there's a lot of opinions, a lot of valuable opinions about that. But understand that just by calling an investigation, we've already biased some people's desire to participate. I also think that I'd be curious to see what you have been told or what you think is the role of this LSB in evaluating hiring or firing a general manager or an IGM, because I think that would enlighten me to some degree about how I want to relate, because if you're carrying the ED message or if you're operating as an independent, I'd be curious to find that out. And what is your if you're facilitating this situation, I'm curious about what your background is in dealing with issues of institutional racism, classism. I see that you have an extensive background in radio, but I think when we're talking about analyzing an organization, I mean, what I've been given to understand, although I haven't seen anything in writing, that this somehow relates to grievances and within the staff and so forth. But if that relates to internal, you know, structural racism, classism, power imbalance, and so forth, I'd love to hear what your experience in dealing with that is. And finally, will the report that you're facilitating but not authoring, is that going to be an open document? Is that a personnel document or is that an organizational document? Thank you.
Matthew.
Continuing along in the same vein, when Andrew first came in, I thought Andrew was in a really difficult position. I honestly think you're in a more difficult position. You have to think of what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a radio station with deep roots in the progressive community of the Bay Area, has elected board, which was the principle was that we would have some control over our own radio station. That was really the idea, that this would be a democratically run station from this community. And then when Andrew came in, there it was really a coup in which the executive director brings in an outside IGM, fires our most successful program, you know, it gets rid of it, sets this station into turmoil, divides us even more than we were divided before. And then after years, Andrew, because of his commitment to the station finally wins the respect of all of us again, and the station is beginning to run well, and all of a sudden we get another coup. And Andrew steps up and does what he thinks is the right thing for the station. Problems are created, and Pacifica comes down again. Well, it's just not going to work. I mean, I'm frankly incredibly angry. I think most of us are incredibly angry. We have no local control existing anymore. And we don't want to see the station go through another turmoil again. It could destroy this station. So I think, you seem like a nice guy. And, I think everybody will try to help you do it. But you have to understand that I think we're going to fight very hard to hold on to our ability to control our own destiny in this station.
Brothers, please, do you have a mic available?
Yeah. Yeah, so I want to say also welcome and thanks for your presentation to let us know more about who you are and what you're telling us your role is. Obviously, we have a lot of questions. I do want to express that I am disappointed that Summer didn't come today because I thought this was going to be the day we were going to find out what is going on. And I think, a lot of people here feel like that didn't happen. It was very anticlimactic, I think. So now we're left with like more questions. What's going to happen next, right? I do appreciate that you stated you would talk to everyone. I look forward to that. And if it's folks who cannot make a meeting with you out here, I would encourage you to maybe make a phone conversation to check in with people and get a feel of like where we're at, right? I mean, you're probably getting it a little bit right now. I am a little concerned about the investigation piece because I can't piece together what is the goal of the investigation at this point, right? You opened it up a little bit to state that it has to do with several things going on, overall station dynamics and related to our program development or like our development in terms of like our funding and so on and making a pitch for people to donate to KPFA. So now I'm a little bit thrown off exactly where is this investigation going? What are the goals of it? And I really, really think that's something that needs to be shared with us as the board by Pacifica to us as soon as possible. Even if that's, a confidential document to us or something, I mean, this is why I really felt like Summer should have been here. Because the way it comes off, it's like it's really taking away our power as a station, as the board, in the matters that are happening right now. So that's it for now.
Nobody else on the list. Back to you.
And I'm sorry.
I'm urging that we don't go on forever on this. Yeah. The people that want to add to this before I cut off the questions and turn it back to the. Okay. Mark. Before we go on any further, I don't want to cut anybody off, but I also want to move this thing as quickly as possible. Right now, Mark is going to, unless I'm corrected, Mark will be the last person from the board before I turn the mic back. Mark and Craig, I mean, the board runs it. Brian, okay, we got till four, folks. You're the boss. Mark, you're on, and then it's Craig, and then it's Brian, and then I'm subject to whatever corrections you care to give me.
Okay. The first and primary consideration in my mind is what, if any, impact this is going to have on the relationship between KPFA and KFCF in terms of engagement, coordination, and communication. Second is, in terms of accountability, I'm not sure the arrangement in this respect. It has been reported that the executive director has recommended that elections not be held this cycle. And in light of everything else going on, would you sanction this knowing that the expense of an election versus the expense of an election and lawsuit is going to weigh in the balance? And third, in terms of an open-ended investigation, that's reminiscent of the Drumhead or McCarthy hearings. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know where the limits are in this investigation. As in, you're stating it's going back into essentially institutional issues. Well, how far back? And we can talk about whoever stole the pencils in 1955. To whoever set fire to the tape machine in 1973, to whoever shot the holes in the windows back in 1999. Where does the investigation start? Where does it end? And who's setting that limit?
Great. Okay, I'll try to be brief. I was just... picking up on the statement that you made earlier, you mentioned the lawsuits at the station, and I've heard this in other contexts. The numbers of lawsuits at the station are alarming, and we need to do something, and that apparently is one of the pretexts for this investigation. And I want to be really clear. Somebody mentioned earlier that the lawsuits are in the past, and that's true. We need to distinguish between grievances and lawsuits. And there's been a lot of alarmist stuff mentioned recently about, the station is, afire with this, or there's rampant this or rampant that. And look at the number of lawsuits. Grievances are not lawsuits. Grievances are complaints, and they are not lawsuits. And there's a big difference. And so I just want to caution you that, they are different things, and they should be treated differently. Anytime you get people together and you have people managing other people, there are going to be complaints, there are going to be, there's going to be friction, there are going to be differences, and there will be grievances. And those can be addressed, and they can be addressed in reasonable ways that resolve situations and aren't inflammatory. We're not talking about lawsuits here. We're talking about right now, if there are grievances, they can be addressed. They're not lawsuits, so be sure to keep that in perspective.
Brian.
I've been on payroll at KPFA for 9 years and counting. You are now the ninth manager we've had during my tenure. And what I hear from a lot of my coworkers, paid and unpaid alike, is a litany of complaints about how the station runs. And one of the reasons I see that those issues do not get dealt with is because of the incredible amount of instability we have at the top of the organization. People are not around long enough to build institutions, to build relationships, to build the relationships that give them the confidence of the staff that let them put the kinds of procedures you're talking to into place without acrimony. And that's my concern in this situation, is that what's being imposed by Pacifica is feeding that, and I think already hurting the performance of the fund drive we're in. I'm also very confused, and like many other people here, it's bizarre circumstances. I do want to welcome you, and don't attach your personal qualities to the bizarre situation in which you're coming in. It's bizarre to hear you say no one individual is the target of the investigation, when one individual has been removed from his position in order to conduct the investigation. It's bizarre to hear that Pacifica thinks there is a situation at KPFA so important it has to be investigated, when they didn't hire an investigator until this week, but apparently started talking to you about replacing our manager in January or February. What that says to me is that for Pacifica's executive director, getting him out is a higher priority than dealing with any actual issue at KPFA. And it feels like we're not being dealt with, honestly.
That's how it feels.
So those are the things I wanted to flag. And, you know, the things that you're doing, they sound like they'd be very useful to the station. This board is supposed to set the priorities of the station. We approve the budget. And right now we're paying two general manager salaries and an investigator salary. We didn't budget, and we haven't been part of the decision conversation about deciding to spend that money. And I don't think there's been any conversation about where that money is going to come from. And I think that's tragic. Because in the end, where it's going to come from is out of the paychecks of my coworkers.
Tracy.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start by addressing the point that Mark brought up kind of out of context about the upcoming election. Yes.
This is questions to the interim general manager, not debate. Sorry, you're out of order.
Okay. I'll say something else then. Although we really should discuss that. Anyway.
That's another question.
Okay. The date of contact that you mentioned, which you should verify, I'm not entirely sure that's when it was, I think, precipitated by Mr. Phillips's expression that he didn't want to stay at the station beyond March of 2013 and request to be transferred to a national programming position. So I think when we talk about the circumstances and events, I think we have to understand there's a question at the end that over the process of 3 or 4 months, a number of things have played into the process in various ways, and, you know, it becomes a moving target.
Ask your question.
So my question for you is, well,
think of one, Tracy.
Yeah, it's not really for Mr. Perotsky. He's brand new, and I welcome him. It's really some of the other things that have been thrown into the conversation with these various loaded questions that we really need to discuss as a board, and we need to get some accurate information on the table. It's not really here.
Is it okay to? Okay. folks, a lot of questions here, and I'll do it as quickly as I can. With regard to when I was contacted, as I say, it was a phone call at the radio station. Unfortunately, I had fallen out of contact with the Pacifica organization itself. I still had contact with past members, but they had to call me at the radio station to find me. And at that particular time, they didn't even mention the station, KPFA. All they said was, was I available? Was I still interested in doing something for Pacifica? I don't know that KPFA was essentially mentioned until at least a month or more later. With regard to the money, Brian, I see the budget. I see the problems with fundraising, and there are several things that are coming together that are kind of like a perfect storm to make things very difficult. It was not. It wasn't my choice in terms of the timing. I was told to come here now. As regard to replacing the IGM, this is something that I was told by Pacifica in terms of the way IGMs or any I positions are handled around here, but specifically IGMs. Those appointments aren't made by the local station boards. IGMs are made by Pacifica National. In fact, I think somebody already mentioned here that that's how Andrew got here. He was appointed as an IGM by Arlene. My understanding is that the IGM is in that position until, one, the local station board puts together the search committee to offer candidates for a permanent replacement, or until Pacifica National fires that IGM or reassigns that IGM. I that's my understanding. I'm not sure. So in other words, from all that you've said, I'm getting a little bit confused because...
Welcome to the club.
Well, no, you're saying that Pacifica National is targeting Andrew, and yet if that were the case, if he's an IGM and if it's the call of National, National could have just fired him, right?
No.
Yes. Oh, come on, folks. So again, I'm trying to put all this together, and again, this is kind of like the report. I need to talk to folks, but I just need to make sure I understand what the questions are, and I want you to understand the limits of my knowledge here. I'm not going to be running whatever investigation is. I don't know what lawsuits have happened in the past or what are brewing now or what could be in the future. That information wasn't given to me. My understanding is that there's some degree of confidentiality involved in these things, and that if the names or whatever, whether they're grievances or actual threats of lawsuits or lawsuits themselves, that if that information became the people, if they're involved at the station, they could be targeted. Again, I'm going on what's been told to me. And here's, I guess, the overriding thing, because I don't know if it would be possible, because I know you folks are up against the gun. I've got the questions here. Could I send an email to the board in response to all of them and just wrap up this way?
Yes.
Please, that would be great.
That would be very good.
And please, just as a note, as a closed LSP list, use that.
Well, he has to be put on that list.
I don't know.
No,
thank you. The way I just as a general summation, folks, someone had asked about control of the destiny of the station. As I say, I've been in contact with Pacifica and the various stations over the years. The control of every station's destiny is very tightly wound around Pacifica National. Pacifica National, from my understanding, holds all the licenses. Whatever happens to an individual station helps or hurts the station, helps or hurts Pacifica National. A lot of the questions that you're asking me, I don't have the information to tell you because I'm not running the investigation. I didn't start all this. All I know is that the people who do know some of the answers, and to the degree that they can give you those answers, aren't in this room. They're at Pacifica National. Now, you have means of contacting Pacifica National. My understanding is that you have representatives to a national board. Uh-huh. they can ask. They can't ask. Well, then there's a problem there. Then
no retro won't come here.
All right. So, maybe that's something that, although I don't know that it would come up in terms of looking at things at KPFA, but clearly there needs to be some greater degree of communication, some more stable communication, some more perhaps civil communication between the stations and the national board, because as I say, you can fight with each other, and I guess that's something that you've done in the past. But if you really think that is going to help Pacifica in the future, please look at the past to see how much it's helped you. And then decide perhaps, maybe you need to sit down with members of the National Board, with members of the Foundation, and just try and lay out some groundworks for some talks. Because I'm not questioning your right to know or your desire to know, but you need to ask the right people. And there are people who have the information that I just don't have right now.
Folks, I need your real cooperation. It's close to 3:30. Our closing time is for we want to hear from Andrew. And we've got a couple unfinished pieces of business with regard to the development discussion. please work with me on this. I have two. First issue is, and I'm trying to do this before we have an executive session so that people are not excluded. I have two motions similar, and they're from Andrea and Janet. I'm going to read both of them, and I'm going to make a suggestion as to whether we can follow on one of them and serve the purpose. From Andrea, motion that the LSB designate representatives, two or three, to serve on development team currently meeting under the supervision of the IGM and Goalbusters. LSB reps will represent development ideas of the board to the development team and report back to the LSB. Janet's is a development committee be formed to review the brainstorming ideas that were shared today, group them, and bring them to the next LSB meeting to be prioritized and prepare a follow-up plan. Pardon me? I need some help on, shall we treat them separately? Okay, can we help, can we do it without debate? Janet, Andrea, do you mind which one I take?
To motivate the motion?
No, I would. Do people have an understanding of what of the two approaches that I just read? On a straw vote, just so I can get some sense of where we're going, how many are likely to support the idea advanced by Andrea that it go to the development committee currently working with Goalbusters? Please raise your hand. Could I have a count, please, Craig? I hear inappropriate. I'm trying to get through this, folks. Okay. Now, how many would support Janet's approach? Yes, Janet's approach, a development committee be formed to review the brainstorming ideas that were shared today, group them, and bring them to the next LSB meeting to be prioritized and prepare a follow-up plan. Essentially, one brings it back to this board, and the other submits it to the group working under Goalbusters. That's I may be screwing things up, but that's my impression of the distinction. Point of order goes to first priority, Mark. Neither of them have been. They came up to me in because I cut off the Andrea's
point of information. Andrea's motion asks us to work with Goalbusters, and I'd like to know, is it Richard or Andrew who's working with Goalbusters?
Folk, I'm sorry. Janet?
I'm sorry, I spaced out a little bit when you read Andrea's motion, but what I think, what I would want would be, maybe this could solve both problems, that whatever, with Andrea's motion, but to then have a report back to the LSB.
Okay, great. That, with that, that understanding, I see the nod, I see that understanding from the seconder. Point of information. I hope you were going to ask for
you
one.
You look so pleased about it. Who is the committee that's currently meeting with Goalbusters? That's, I want to be clear who we're kicking it to.
Maybe Andrew could speak to
that. The LSB designate representatives two or three to serve. Let me read it again. The LSB designate two or three representatives to serve on the development team currently meeting under the supervision of the IGM and Goldbusters. LSB reps will represent the development ideas of the board to the development team and report back to the LSB. Okay. So we would name them. Brian.
I'm sorry, I get a little queasy with the idea of the board inserting its own members into operational meetings that happen inside the station. You know, it's one thing to, like, grab the person who runs the phone room, grab the person who runs the database, grab the person who does events and say, hey, let's sit down with these two consultants. It's another thing to start saying, hey, schedule everything. You know, we're going to have a board member for every staff member. Start scheduling everything you do around their schedules, too. It just, like, bureaucratizes what's happening inside the station. I think we should have our own committee.
I'm looking at the clock, folks. Would the following idea be helpful? I promised to type these things up and get them to the board. Can we then take this matter up with that at the next board meeting? Yes, no. Come on, board. Andrea. You get the floor.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm a little unclear. What procedurally what we're doing?
I'm asking a question if the board will be satisfied with the following procedure.
You're moving to table the issues.
I am trying to get out of Robert's rules and go to sanity. Please bear with me. Pardon? Would somebody like to take over the chair? My suggestion is that in continuation of the open discussion, I keep my promise to type up the notes and email it to the board, and that be an item for the next board meeting. We can prioritize it and continue it then. Is there an objection? That's the way it will be. Now, from whom?
Well, me.
Well, then speak up. I can't read your mind.
Just procedure. I see that you're feeling frustrated, and I just want to encourage you. I get that it's, but I don't think everybody else is quite as frustrated. I think it's okay, and I think that the spirit is actually to try to move the development conversation along. I'm totally happy to go ahead and, you know, table these motions until next meeting. To have it, but I see some eye rolling at the table, and I feel like there's information that I wish we could just have an honest conversation about it, because I feel like some of the LSB is in those conversations, and I don't know. Barbara, I don't know. I see you reacting especially strong. I see Andrew looking a little irritated, guess what I'm trying to ask for here is all in the spirit of cooperation. I'll vote to go ahead and table the motion. But what I'm trying to do, guys, is please just respect me. I don't want to waste my time planning and scheming about development things that are never going to get traction inside the station. And what I'm trying to hear about is tell me, I'm reaching a hand out. I want somebody to take my hand and let me know how to be effective in development proposals. Because I have been on this board for 4 years, and I have done everything in my little imagination that I could think of, and I've come up empty, and I feel useless and silly coming here and having these conversations.
The question
was, if folks won't reach out.
The question was there objection to the procedure that I suggested? Margie, Tracy, Joy. I'm calling on you to speak.
Okay. I think we should develop this procedure, but I think there should be a meeting of those of us who are interested in working on development with whoever is in charge at the station to talk about the questions that Andrea raised. Because I'm just saying, goodwill, let's have a discussion. Not because I don't get it either, honestly. And I know that people feel, I hear what Brian said, I've heard what Barbara said about, you know, how this committee works, and I don't get it, and I don't understand why members of the LSB can't be involved in those discussions. And so all I'm saying is, yes, let's vote up Burton's motion, let's postpone it, but between now and then, let's try and have some discussion so that some of us have some clarity about it.
Barbara has asked, help me out, folks. 20 minutes left in our meeting.
You can vote to extend.
Let's table this.
Point of order, Ms. Mark, help me.
Lewis has put a motion to put it on the table.
Mike.
Lewis has posted a motion to put this on the table. As such, he can also determine the terms and conditions of laying it on the table.
I apologize.
It is not debatable. It is not arguable.
Lewis, I apologize. I didn't hear. With so many voices shouting at me, it's hard to sort it out. Give Lewis the mic, please.
As that's what to be put on the table.
Okay, the motion has been to put on the table. Is there a second?
Yes.
Not debatable. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
It is approved.
Can we have a, Barbara, you indicated.
Can
point of order.
I know you're in a hurry, but it's very unclear if it's tabled until next meeting or is it tabled indefinitely. So I'd like to ask that it be put on the agenda for next meeting.
No, let's do it this way. Please, it is the chair's understanding that it is tabled until the next meeting. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, my understanding.
Is that carrying it over?
And would it change your vote or anybody's vote if we use the terminology that Tracy insists upon? Come on, let's move on, folks.
Mr. Chair?
Brian?
I move that this item be removed from the table at our next meeting.
Thank you. All those in is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now, what is the group's pleasure? We have one piece of business that I think we need to do.
No. On procedure, I believe that what we have to do right now is adjourn to an executive session and hear Andrew. He has been here all day.
Yes.
Please.
Marty, give me a chance.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
There is one piece of business, and that is from the CNB.
No, the P is, no.
The Community Advisory Board, CAB, the CAB. And essentially all we have to do is approve some people for their committee. I'd like that to happen before we go into executive session and shoo everybody out of the room. It can be done in 3 seconds. It is number 1310. I know it's out of order.
Well, all right then. So long as you.
I'm asking the indulgence of the board of whether we can do it. Okay, thank you. Is there a second that we take? All right, all those in favor of taking item 1310 out of order and consider it now, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Nancy, you have asked.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, you need a 2/3 vote to take items up out of order.
We're just practicing good procedure.
Sorry, Brian. All those in favor of taking.
Point of information, how long is this going to take? It's going to be debate?
30 seconds. What is the desire of the
representative from CAB.
On the KPFA Community Advisory Board. I didn't come here to present, okay? Last month, y'all got a bunch of nominations to the board. And six of them are new people. Four of them, although I'm not sure one of them submitted an actual self-nomination, four of them are current members requesting a second two-year term, okay? And so what you're doing today would be to say yes to all of them, or if you've read some nominations and you don't want one of them, that could happen. But I have a feeling that you would rather say yes to all of them. That's just, I wasn't planning here coming to say that. I'm just clarifying what's going on, okay?
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion?
So moved. To say yes to
second.
All of them.
Okay, so it's seconded. All those in favor of moving the agenda so that we take up right now the question of the Community Act Board, please raise your hand.
Are you happy, Tracy?
David.
Sometimes cooperation is better than following dumb rules. All those opposed? Two. The two-thirds having been achieved, the agenda's changed. We followed the rules. We've wasted time. Now all those in favor of approving the nominees for the volunteers for the CAB, please signify by raising your hand. All those opposed? It is passed unanimously. We are now going into executive session. My thanks to everybody not on the board who has attended and sat through this. And we.
Yeah, thanks, folks.
And while you're going out, I will editorialize and say something that I've said on several occasions before. It is the responsibility of everybody in an organization to cooperate to make the organization work smoothly.
Folks, if you're in the audience, we need you to clear out.
Goodbye. Folks who are not members of the board, I think you're a ex officio. So I beg your pardon? Oh. Gee, being micromanaged in the same direction I'm going? Ladies and gentlemen, we are now in executive session. Please call off the recording device.